Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
When the Apostle Paul and his companions traveled around the Mediterranean world, they were engaged in preaching the gospel of Christ. Sometimes they were favorably received when they preached the word. People were converted. The church was established, and it grew, and its name was known throughout the world. And then there were other cities that Paul and his companions went into where they were not well received, where they had very little opportunity to preach the gospel, and where the church did not grow and become strong. And then there were other situations where the Bible record just does not inform us exactly what took place there. But there were other places where we have only a brief mention of the work done by Paul and others. There we have the beginning of a story, but not the end. Well, such is the case in the 17th chapter of Acts. The chapter begins and with Paul going into the city of Thessalonica. There was a Jewish synagogue there, and the Bible says Paul preached the gospel for three different Sabbath days. And then the record says, and some of them were persuaded, of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Acts 17, verse 4. So we have just a brief mention of the church being planted. Shortly after the church in Thessalonica began, opposition arose. The Jews were moved with jealousy, the Bible says, and they took the preachers of the gospel and went before the leaders of the city. And they said, Acts 17:6, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And then the story closes without telling us more of the progress of the church in the city of Thessalonica. But some years later, Paul had occasion to write to these brethren in Thessalonica. And thus we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, down through verse 10. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, before our God and Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, how that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, even as you know what manner of men we showed ourselves toward you for your sake. And ye became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith to Godward is gone forth, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves report concerning us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned unto God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivereth us from the wrath to come. Now, notice these Thessalonians. What had the Thessalonian church become? In the days when Paul visited the city on his second missionary journey, a few were converted. They experienced severe opposition. Then there's a break in the story. But now, some years later, Paul is writing and he's saying, brethren in Thessalonica, I give thanks to my God always for you. I remember your prayers without ceasing. I remember your work of faith. I know about your labor of love and your patience of hope. I remember how the word of God was sounded forth unto you, and now you're sounding forth that word to others. They had experienced their conversion with great opposition, great persecution, but they also shared in the joys of Christianity with people everywhere. And I'm especially interested in the verse 8, which says, for from you hath sounded forth the word of the Lord. And from that, I'd like to suggest three things this afternoon in connection with that. First, there is the nature of the church in Thessalonica. We're able to see what kind of people they were. And then next, let us examine a bit more carefully what they did. And then last, relate ourselves carefully to this verse, which teaches that the word of the Lord needs to be sounded forth from every congregation of God's people into all the world. Now look at the Thessalonians. When we think of the kind of people that they were, we have to observe that they were truly converted. Their conversion to the Lord was not just a matter of convenience. They had not been attracted by some new charismatic preacher or some new fanciful doctrine and then sought solace in that for a moment. But their conversion was genuine, a turning that was based upon conviction, a conviction that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. And in the text we read that Paul reminded them that they had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, perhaps most of us have never been called upon to make that kind of choice. Most of us have always believed in God. And in our process of conversion, we may have just adopted a different understanding of God's teachings. Certainly our appreciation of God and His will for man has grown as we've matured and developed and as we've made changes. Some have been called upon to change religions, perhaps, or change church affiliation. But these people had been called upon to change gods. And their conversion was a genuine conversion. In verse 6, Paul reminded them that they had been converted to the Lord in face of much affliction. There had been persecution. They had been punished for their service to God. But they had stayed with their faith, because their conversion was genuine. And it may be that we will live to see the day when we will be called upon to sacrifice and to be persecuted because of our faith. There may even come a time when the days of martyrdom are reestablished, when we'll be tied to a stake or given a choice, either renounce faith in God or be burned at the stake. And if our faith is subjected to such a test, I pray that our conversion may have been so genuine and our conviction so strong that we will be able to withstand. The Thessalonian Christians had really been converted. And thus we're not surprised that they sounded forth the word of the Lord. Not only were these people truly converted, but they were filled with faith, with hope, with love. Notice in verse 3, Paul said, "I remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope." These people believed in God. Their faith gave them substance. It gave them direction as to what they were doing. And they knew why they were serving God. They had no scientific demonstration to offer as to the existence of God, but they were serving God because they believed in God. They recognized that, as all men ought to, that regardless of station in life and degrees of learning, that there is the essentiality of having faith in something. And these Thessalonians had chosen to believe in Jehovah God, the true and living God. Well, why were they so dedicated in their service? It was because they loved. They had learned to love one another. And they had come to love the Lord. When we learn how to love, the effectiveness of the church will be increased perhaps a thousandfold. There are three objects of our love, and if we could just learn to love one of the three to a greater extent, the effectiveness of our outreach would be increased. You think about a church that's filled with people who don't love each other. There's bickering, there's strife, and the body of Christ is being torn asunder. If these people could just learn to love one another, think how much good could be accomplished. And then consider there's another church that's up in its ivory tower. It has no concern for the people who are oppressed, for the people who are hungry, those who are naked, and those who are sick, and those who are in need. It isn't moved by the realization that people are lost and dying in sin. Well, if that church could just learn to love the lost, the oppressed, the needy, its doors of opportunity would be opened many times more. And then consider there's a third case where people have lost their sense of direction. They've forgotten that it is God whom they are serving. And so He may be left out of their lives. He may not be remembered in prayer. He's not turned to in an hour of need. Well, these people need to learn to love as well. And what greater things could be accomplished if they learn to love? And if we could learn to love all three, love one another, love the lost, love our God, the effectiveness of the church be increased so much more. Well, the Thessalonian church was able to sound forth the word of the Lord because they were people of faith, because they were people whose labors were motivated by love. And they did what they did because, not that they were getting paid for it, but because they loved and because of the hope they had. Paul says they're characterized by their patience of hope. What a wonderful thing hope really is. And even those people in Thessalonica who were demonstrating their patience of hope perhaps didn't really understand all the blessings that were included by being in Christ. And on this occasion, when Paul writes to them, they had become unduly concerned about the destiny of those who had died as Christians. And they needed the reassurance of Paul's letter. And what is it that keeps us going? Is it the rewards of today? No, because today it may bring disappointments. Is it the reward of satisfaction? Well, of a job done, our job and efforts may be frustrated. But when we have done our best, the results are often the least. But I think that which keeps us going is H-O-P-E, hope. The hope that when Jesus comes, all will be just as He has described in His Word. And then verse 10 states, He insisted that these people learn simply to wait, to be patient, to wait for the Lord to come from heaven. And how wonderful it is to couple with all these other great qualities, the quality of patience, and to be able to wait for the Lord in His own time to accomplish His purposes and to work out His will. Well, what had all of these qualities done for the church in Thessalonica? I believe you could summarize it in one word. They had been given the gift of confidence or assurance. They were confident, they were assured of what they were doing. And they were confident in the results that they would receive. Paul knew something of what it meant to have this kind of confidence. In writing to a young preacher, Timothy, he said, as recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I know Him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul's belief had become so strong, so well grounded, and so firmly rooted that his faith in that knowledge, the knowledge that comes from above, that he knew who he believed, and he had committed his life unto Him. Well, in the closing moments, look at what these Thessalonians did. They became a great source of missionary activity. Paul said, from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord, not philosophy, not words of religion, words of human doctrine, but the word of the Lord. And it's the Lord's word that will build us up and give us an inheritance among all them who are sanctified, as Paul even said to Timothy, when we are obedient to that word, when our faith leads us to confess Christ, to turn away from sin in repentance, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to receive the cleansing blood to wash away our sins, and to give ourselves in dedicated service to Him.